This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Clifford May. He's president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. With Saturday marking 9 years since the horrific terrorist attacks against our nation in New York, Washington, and field in Pennsylvania, we wanted to get Cliff's analysis on how much we've progressed in terms of fighting this war over the past 9 years, where some of our glaring needs for improvement might exist, and what the recent dialogue about Islam as it relates to the mosque in New York and other avenues means that we've learned or haven't learned in the past 9 years. And Cliff, thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be with you, Greg.
Well, you've written a piece for a National Review online that can be found at nationalreview.com, in which you talk about some of the things that you've personally learned over the past 9 years. You find some very problematic areas of current U.S. policy, namely as it relates to the ongoing war in Afghanistan. First of all, the ongoing declaration of this administration that it will not be an open-ended war. Explain why that is not the right way to go, in your opinion.
Well, what President Obama said last week is that an open-ended war doesn't serve U.S. interests. And I think he's right about that, but I also think it's entirely irrelevant. A war is not like a theatrical production. You don't just say, okay, next Tuesday we bring down the curtain. It's not like a football game. You don't say, you know what, the clock is running out. Generally speaking, wars continue until one side wins and one side loses. So unless we're going to escalate really greatly, which I don't think we're going to do in order to defeat our enemies, or unless we're going to surrender, chances are this is an open-ended war, also known as a low-intensity conflict, also known as the long war, because it's going to go on for a very long time, because we have very, very determined enemies out there, who I don't think we're understanding as well as we should be.
Cliff, do you favor escalation, and if so, what would that look like?
Well, that's a long subject, Greg. I do think we need to understand better who our enemies are and then have a more strategic approach to fighting our enemies. When you hear people say, you know, we have one war taking place in Iraq, and then we have another war taking place in Afghanistan, that to me is like as though Roosevelt and Churchill were saying during what we know to be World War II, gosh, we've got one war taking place in Europe and another war taking place in the Pacific, and by the way, another war taking place in North Africa. We need to shut down some of those wars. No, what you have to do is understand that you have many fronts to a global conflict, like that was, like this is, and then be strategic about how you deploy your resources so that you hopefully prevail over your enemies and they don't prevail over you. Now, the fronts in this war include Iraq, where we fought al-Qaeda in Iraq. There's a reason for that. It was called that. There's a front in Afghanistan where we now know that the Iranians are paying the Taliban to a bounty for the killing of Americans. And we have had other fronts as well. 9/11, of course, we had fronts in New York and Washington. Fort Hood was a front of this war. Times Square almost was, as was almost a plane coming into Detroit on Christmas. We have to understand from the regime in Iran to the militant Islamist and jihadi movements based in such places as Pakistan and Afghanistan and the Gaza Strip, we have a lot of different enemies joining in, and we have to have a strategic approach to it, or we're not going to do as well as we need to.
Cliff, you alluded to it in your previous response, and it's another area you say should be of a great concern to this administration, and that's the situation of Iran and its influence in Afghanistan, basically because the West is funding Iranian contractors to help rebuild Afghanistan, and then Iran, of course, is using that money to pay folks to kill U.S. and other NATO troops, that basically we're paying to have our own people killed. And you talk about things that you wish that this administration would do to put a little more pressure on Iran.
Well, look, first of all, I think this needs to be actually addressed. There are these companies established in Afghanistan by Iran. The fact that we now have evidence that some of the money there being paid by NATO countries to help in the reconstruction effort is being recycled to kill NATO troops strikes me as a problem we need to solve sooner rather than later. Of course, Iran was also facilitating the murders, the killings of American troops in Iraq, and we never did much about it. The most important thing, I guess, is that we don't let Iran go ahead under this current regime and have nuclear weapons. If they are paying terrorists and supplying terrorists with weapons, have been doing, are doing, don't we think they'll do that in the future? Don't we think there's a tremendous risk that nuclear weapons could get into the hands of some of these terrorists, perhaps on purpose, by Iran? We have a problem here that we're ignoring, partly because we're disconnecting the dots and not understanding that Iran is the regime that is most dangerous to us as part of this international militant Islamist or jihadi movement. In fact, I think Iran is at this point more dangerous than Al-Qaeda, and I say that without minimizing Al-Qaeda's danger.
Cliff, just a couple minutes left here, a couple more topics in that time. First of all, any glaring improvements over the past 9 years that show that we have learned quite a bit since 9/11?
Well, there are ways in which we have, under the previous administration and this administration, been taking the war to the enemy, which I think is very important to do. You do not want your enemy to be able to relax, to be able to plan and plot and get the weapons and all they need comfortably. As far as Iran is concerned, very serious sanctions have been passed by, not the UN, those were sort of toothless but symbolic, but by the U.S. Congress with bipartisan majorities. Now the question is, will those sanctions be enforced seriously to really put some pain on this current regime in Iran? I don't know that that does the trick, but I think it's worth trying. And then I think we need a plan B in case that doesn't work, because I think the worst thing of all would be for this regime in Iran that has, for 31 years, has as its rallying cry, Death to America, led by Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who says a world without America is attainable. We should not allow sit back and simply allow this regime to have nuclear weapons and not understand that that is going to change the world in ways that are very threatening to us.
What about the mindset of the American people here, Cliff? Obviously, the debate over the mosque, this latest Quran burning story, has generated a lot of debate, and it's led some to allege that Americans are now Islamophobic. Do you believe that that's the case, or is it more a sense of Americans properly understanding the threats that we really face, something that perhaps we didn't do pre-9/11?
I think the debate has taken a shocking turn. Yes, about 70% of Americans do not think that it is a good idea at this point for this project to go forward. But this is the most tolerant country in the world. They're worried about the questions that have not been asked by most of the media about the funding for this mosque, about some of the statements that Imam Rauf has made, which don't necessarily suggest he's a terrorist. I don't happen to think he is, but suggests he may not be a vehemently anti-terrorist and anti, not just anti-jihadist, but anti-Islamist. And yet we are being told that 70% of Americans are bigoted and hateful. You should see some of the emails and phone calls I've been getting for raising questions about this mosque, and not just by Al Jazeera, but Time magazine saying that we are all Islamophobes in the United States. I think it is really dreadful. This happens to be today, as it has been, the most tolerant nation in the world in all sorts of ways. And the more than 50 members of the Organization of the Islamic Conference, there is not one of them that comes anywhere close in terms of tolerance. I would really be encouraged to hear Imam Rauf, who is heading this project, speak out, not to scold Americans and tell Americans how much more tolerant we need to be, but to say, we have a problem within the Islamic world, and I am addressing it. I am asking for the same kind of tolerance there that we already have in the United States. I haven't heard that yet. I wish we would, and I wish the people who are being so hypocritical about this and so angry about this would stop the demonization and make some arguments and have a real discussion about the problems we have from various movements that have arisen from within the Islamic world.
Cliff, unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word. As always, sir, great thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Greg.
Cliff May is president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.